My journey started as a need to feed my adventurous soul, but without a doubt, it turned out to be a journey of self-discovery and healing. Those were my guest's words back in September of 2023 when she first guested on this podcast. Gila is a nomad by choice, and she's come a long way since then, geographically, emotionally, and spiritually. Gila returned in 2024 to catch us up on her life, and she joins me again today. It's been both interesting and a joy for me to chat with her each year since she decided to embark on this lifestyle. And this year, I see her moving from her internal growth to an external dream. Through coaching, I learned the term BHAG, a big, hairy, audacious goal. And Gila's dream might be that. But I think it's also plausible, doable, growable, and, well, probably more effective than a lifetime in a therapist's chair. Before we get started, I need to provide a trigger warning. We do discuss suicide in our conversation today. Listen now. My chat today is unique in a very special way. I first chatted with Gila in 2023. I caught up with her again in 2024. And here we are again in 2025. And that reminds me, Gila, Miriam says hello.
Oh, good.
Gila is a nomad. I know some of you will cringe at the thought. I also know some of you will lean in, wondering if it could be your lifestyle, even just for a while. If you want Gila's full story, full journey that leads up to today's conversation, the links to both our previous conversations are in the show notes. Some of you know I'm journaling my current life as a pet and house sitter. I call it living with no fixed address. It's a tab at boomwithabang.com. I'm contemplating taking my life a bit more international at some point. House or pet sitting will give me more time at a location and modify the costs of a vacation. Gila has pretty much stayed on continental North America, I think.
Yes,
Okay.
so far.
She had a minivan modified last year after she determined the nomad life was her happy place, and she'll tell us more about that in a minute. I'm so pleased to have this opportunity to catch up with Gila. Gila Melamed, welcome back to the podcast for Boomer Women, where we are embracing the journey.
Thank you. It's feel home with you,
Yeah,
Agnes.
this is great. Yeah. Same faces, different background. Now, I want to give our listeners a quick overview. You
Okay.
started out in an adapted Mazda CX-5, and I'll quote you at that time. I took advantage of my petite size, 4'11", and converted my car into a micro camper. I'm happy I'm simplifying everything. This journey is not about luxury. It's about being at one with nature, exploring new places, meeting people along the way, and creating new connections. That first trip changed you, and I'll quote you again. My journey started as a need to feed my adventurous soul, but without a doubt, it turned out to be a journey of self-discovery and healing. So you returned to New York and exchanged the car for a minivan. You and your friend Mike make quite a few adaptations, and your journey continues.
Yes.
As much as you want to share, tell us how this lifestyle feeds you and how you came to realize that.
Well, I will say it's probably was like on my 3rd month on the road when it just like I was starting to question, can I continue living this way? I fell in love with it right away. I knew I would like it, but I was not really fully thought that I will be like so immersed into all of it. Now, I really trying to make sure that people understand this is not an easy life. It is really not an easy life. You need to love it to be able to get the beauty of it. Because everything that usually take you 2 seconds, 2 minutes at home will take me much longer to do. And I'm very much in the mercy of the weather as well. So I just the thought of going back and living, if you call it normal life in a 4 walls apartment and doing the 9 to 5, and I don't know, I just couldn't. It felt like it's more like I'm going to go back and putting myself in prison. I just couldn't go back to that kind of a lifestyle. And it's really I more and more as I was continue going and going through that healing journey, and understanding that the responsibility for my happiness is in my hand. I can go back and live and sit on my sofa and dream about a life that I would like to give myself, or I can give or I can really go and give myself that chance. Right? No one really guarantee me what will be the result. But just giving myself that chance put me in the path to where I want to be.
I'm also thinking, just in terms of our listeners, is that you talk about the fact that it's not easy. I mean, your space is small. You deal with the weather. When the snows come, you can be chilly. But to go into that, and I don't know if you did go into that with eyes wide open or whether it came to you as like, oh crap. But like for it's amazing what we can which challenges we can rise to. Now you did, and I guess I'm just talking to our listeners in a way now to say, keep that in mind, but you might have more inside you than you realize.
You know what? It's probably was the sixth, right? The 6 days of my journey. I'm in the Blue Ridge Mountains. I wake up to a very cold morning. I mean, I'm making my coffee and my hands are freezing. And I was not expecting that. There was a cold front that coming. I'm still in the beginning of October. Cold, yes, but not that cold. And as while I'm like, oh my God, what, this is not what I was thinking. I got a very clear understanding that if I want to make the best of this journey, I need to be willing to be flexible, adaptable, and embrace whatever come my way. And take, and really like what started happening is my perspective started changing from seeing a hard challenge to see it as opportunity to, see where's my limits, where, how much I can push myself. And because fear was number one emotion, was a lot of fear. If you really like it's, there were a night that were just, there was one, this was the second year I was in El Paso, and looking back, I should have took that night a motel and not stay in that state park. The wind was horrific. I was terrified, absolutely terrified. But like I, you try to make the best decision, but I just I want to live the life that make me the most happy, the most like the one that I can really be truly myself. And I know we, in the first podcast with you, we had, you said that, I had always have a feeling that I born to be in the wild. Now, if I take myself back to the 4-year-old, and that's the memory, one of the memory that I have very vivid. I born with a lot of courage, with very wild heart, and a lot of curiosity. Unfortunately, grew up in a little bit too abusive. I'm trying not. It was abusive childhood. Lost my mom in a, just a, in a young age. Not an easy life. Not the first 50 years of my life was not easy. And I, every time I remember that little 4-year-old in me, that's who I am, and that's where I am now, back to being that kind of a person that I really born to be. So I think a lot of time we are living a life that not us, not that don't belong to us. And we're in that cycle. Now remember, I also read a lot and listen to a lot of books that educate me about my emotion, my feelings. Brené Brown teaching gave me a lot. The Pema Chodron, her Buddhist, like today I'm definitely the Buddhist philosophy speak very much into my heart. I read a lot of books that let me understand more myself. For example, one of the things that I learned lately, that the critic voice in me, that's not my voice. That's someone else, I'll not even point fingers. And that's their fear. That's their insecurity. That had nothing to do with me. That is not my voice. So the more I'm willing to listen to my voice, the true voice in me. For me, I find happiness and joy.
So many thoughts. Okay, I want to just address that critic for a minute because that really rings a bell in terms of sometimes the critic is just society, like the societal norms, you know, as opposed it could have been a parent or a sibling or a friend or something that just drilled that doubt into your mind. Now, I want to go back to when you were first explaining, like that first night when it was so cold. A number of years ago, I wrote an article on failure. And I could see that, like listening to you, I was thinking that if you'd woken up and your fingers are so cold that you can barely make your cup of coffee, you could have just gone home. And to me, that would probably have bothered me along the way that I failed. However, when you put in your year, if you got home and said, you know, like I've put in a year, I've seen this, I've seen that, I've experienced this, I've learned so much. But, you know, I think I'm really happy now putting down roots again. That's not failure. That's, you know, it's just, I'm maybe splitting hairs, but there's failure and then there's no, it wasn't going to be a long-term life.
So in the end of the first book, and I actually wrote because I got to really understand that I actually don't have the word failure in my vocabulary. Because every situation and every experience I have, I see it as opportunity to learn. So there is actually a huge important information in the no lessons in our life. And that's where, and I don't know where it's coming from. And like, if it's, a lot of time it's, it feel like, like we definitely born in certain wisdom. And I always felt as a, I should be so messed up, but I'm not. And I think there was a certain wisdom that I born with that really helped me. I also like as a, even though not growing up in a religious family and I don't consider myself religious, there was always the God sense of there's something bigger than us that is there. And so failure is it's just not something that I take into my experience. If something I come and I see what where there is, I will learn from it. Now today when I'm much more deep into my spirituality, when things are and I take that word from Pema Chodron, squeeze me. I stop for a second. It's like, okay, I'm getting a squeeze now. What there is still there to learn? How can I? It's opportunity for growth. Let me take a deep breath and let me move with it. And also, I'm more and more enjoying the surrender part and the letting go. I just it just makes life easier for me anyway. And that's where I want to live. I don't want any more like going against the life and and because I did that and you know what? It didn't work.
Yeah. The other part that I found interesting, geez, we're like 4 minutes in and I've got like 14 questions for you. You talked about your night in Texas and you talked about fear. And I was sort of, I felt myself sort of tense up. And then you talked about the wind. And
Yes.
I'm going, well, crap, you know, like the wind to me, because I've dealt with some really, really interesting windstorms, and bore the results of them. To me, it was like, oh God, like what was happening? Was there somebody outside your camper trying to get in? Like it was more of a person kind of fear than an environmental fear. So that's interesting how, and once again, just the different personalities, different backgrounds that we bring to our story.
Well, first of all, I lost a lot of trust in, as a result of my ex and my father that hurt me a lot, but I gain it in enormous way with people all as I travel. People are kind. People, here and there you have the one that not necessarily kind, but I try to remember that that come from a place of hurt, not a place of wanna hurt someone. It doesn't come from being mean. And I did not have, only once I think I had experienced that, and that unfortunately was in Canada, that I felt really not safe. But otherwise, and the wind after 2 hours that my car did not flip, I understood it's strong enough to, hold the wind, and but it was scary. It was really scary.
Talk to me about solitude.
I love that. So here's another thing, by the way, that I learned through reading, and that's from the book, The Body Keep the Score. Because a lot of people ask me, how come you so enjoying going by myself? How come you're not afraid? As a child, being alone was a place of safety because no one can hurt me. So I love, love, love my solitude with, especially in nature. There is just a connection there that, and that's most of my writing come really, like when I'm able to express in a way that I still don't understand my writing, but it just come out in a way that is just flow. So today I'm in, we are talking and I'm in the Estes Park in the Y, doing a small seasonal job. And I have the Rocky Mountain National Park, and the amount of people, it's too much. I found that if I want to get my solitude, I need to wake up at 4 in the morning. Luckily for me, I have everything with me. So I get around 4:30, 4:45, depending on the how much distance I need to drive to the trailhead, and then I start my coffee and that, but at least I have the parking and I start hiking early to avoid a crowd. It just there is a magic for it for me. There's just a I and those are the moments where nature and landscape just hit me in such a rawness and such a way that I really feel the presence of God and the universe and the beauty. And there is so much love in me that all I want to do is how can I take that and just give it to everyone else? Because I can tell you that is the secret for peace. The moment will each of us will find the peace inside ourselves, then there will be, for all of us.
It's interesting because even with you and the number of times we've spoken, I did come with notes. And I was going to mention, I've been watching some of the photographs that you've posted, especially on your Facebook. And I was going to ask if you ever lose that sense of awe in the natural magnificence of this world we live in. And obviously, you do not.
Well, I sometimes do when there is a lot of people where it just
Oh.
I do get into my it's almost like I get into my own cocoon, and it's hard for me then to find, like I was hiking in Yosemite, and it just was a lot. It for me, it just was. It really took away from that intimacy that I am looking to get from nature. So I got around it, but no, when it's just me and nature, there it's just the beauty is incredible, just incredible, and it's a gift. Now, I don't know. I think we spoke about it one time. For a long time, people was, I was expressing that I'm in, it looked like that this journey chose me. But when I go back for a little bit and I realized that my journey really started the moment I decided, to let go of that gas pedal and not to commit suicide in 2016. And I got a second chance. What I do with that second chance? So every time I'm in that moment of like, oh, and like such a beauty, I'm like, Gila, look what you can see and what you can experience. Can you imagine if you went just that little second further, you will lost all of that. And just this is just like this is the moment that it's hard. It's hard to see what could be. If I broke up to that pain, a lot of my friends tell me I'm such a strong woman. If any time I felt my strength was in that second, because that took a lot out of me to not to let that pain take over, and to give myself a second chance. And right away, I went and I asked for divorce, and life is really like a blessing and a joyful.
I was thinking about you recently. I was talking to a therapist, and she made a comment that was like one of those aha moments. And she said, people who consider suicide don't want to end their life, they
Oh.
want to end the pain.
I no, I definitely did not, but it's committing suicide tastes so sweet and so inviting because it was the pain was too much to bear at this point. The older my kids got, older, the more I was choked. And no, I and the people that are really serious, they're not the one that talking about it. And this is why this is why today I am talking about it loud, because I wish there was in back that time someone say something. Because I the only person I shared it is really my therapist, but it was a constant everyday a challenge keeping myself alive, and it's exhausting, and no one deserved that. And I always thought it was a condition in my imbalance on my brain. I don't know why I didn't connect it to my ex, my marriage. I don't know. But the moment I asked, it was a matter of second, the release, just the burst of life that came into my body. And the end of the day, we do make the choice how we want to live our life. I mean, you can go ahead and blame everyone for your misery, but if you don't take that responsibility on your hand to make it happy and wonderful, guess what? You're going to be stuck and very unhappy.
One more question about going back to solitude. Do you think that I've often had people say to me, I can't believe you enjoy just being on your own. Like, don't you need a partner or something? And I'm going like, well, and there's such a difference between lonely and alone. And I really feel that sometimes alone can start out feeling lonely, but it's only by being able to be alone that we can move forward in so many ways.
I think first of all, like maybe because I'm easily connected with people, that I this is something that I absolutely have control of. If I want to be alone, by myself. If I need, the compassion of the companion of people, I have no problem, to get it. First of all, I find it so easy to travel by myself. It's just me, and I need to make decision on the spot. Changes, how lately, the last the first year, right? Everything was very much like set, and now I changed my mind. Sometimes as I go and I travel, like oops. So how many times I made like a U-turn and turn around just in a second, just because no, I actually want to check out. If you have another person with you, that's hard to do. So that freedom is priceless for me. And and in so many ways, I'm still dating myself. I'm still learning so much about myself, what I never had the opportunity to do. So, it's like I was in my parents' house, I was with my ex since I was 19. I was still a kid. So now it's me time, and I always say like I'm really grateful for both of my boys living independent life, supporting me and just want to be, to see me happy. So it does help that part. And also I don't want to, they're adult. I don't want to take their life on them. For me, they're two. It's two movies that I'm gonna sitting now and watching. I'm there to support, but I'm watching it now.
Okay, the one thing I need to emphasize that you just said is I'm still dating myself.
Yes.
What a great phrase, because when you're dating, it's like you're getting to know each other, finding all the good parts, noticing the sticky parts. So what a great analogy. That's great. There's got to be a meme in there somewhere. When you feel fear, how do you talk yourself through it? How do you?
Okay, so first of all, I learned that there is two level of fears in a sense. Okay, there is the gut feeling that you have, and you have the fear. Okay, so the way simply to describe it is when I'm experience fear, and a lot of it is in hike and things like that. There is still a little part of me that telling me, Gila, sweetheart, just push a little bit further. You can do it. Go for it. Okay. The rest of my parts like, no, why are you doing it? But that little gentle, probably that wild and curious and, adventurous part of me telling me to push it. And I push. I take, deep breath. I'm like making sure that the fear is have nothing to do with things that is unsafe to do. And I push. When my gut feeling come in, all my parts scream at me, abort, unsafe, abort. And I learned I'm not even arguing with this voice. Whatever it's like I'm not like, well, no, out, turn around, get out. And but that's through experience, right? It's like I was last year in Colorado, and I was entering Colorado, and I stopped for the night in a rest area. And I don't know, I was going to the bathroom to wash. There was like a few cars, and felt safe. But as I was entering the bathroom, there was a one hallway and then a different door to the bathroom. And I cannot even explain to you, but I was starting brushing my teeth, and it just felt wrong. Just felt wrong. I was in the middle. I just packed everything. I didn't even wash my mouth to spit, the toothpaste. I just got out and went to my car, and I continued there. In the morning, I don't think if I don't remember if in the morning I went back because I felt safer or not, but I'm out. I'm not, it's just not a place to question. We do have that gut feeling, and it's there for a reason. Do yourself a favor and listen to it. But if you feel the fear, push it, because that's where you able to expand the experience in life and find more connection, more beauty, and confidence. You find much more confidence.
Did it take training to figure out the difference between that gut fear and brain fear?
Yeah, I think it was just the experience as I was going through. And I'm also very, very aware. I'm willing to really be honest with myself to the rawness of everything, and to also to be willing to see where are my weaknesses, where is my strength, where, because the moment you do that, then you can let the gut feeling be a gut feeling and the fear be fear. So as I said, like when I say I'm still dating myself, I'm still learning where is all those parts in me come together and what they telling me. Because we are definitely, that it's called part works. It's a book, and it's ISF. So it's interesting, philosophy about how we all are part, there's so many part of us. I'm still listening and educating myself about it, but it make a lot of sense to me. And so this is where I calling about, the parts and things like that. So.
Now, you mentioned a few minutes ago, and I know in reading some of your posts, the people that have come into your life have been really impactful.
Yes.
Is that because you're open, or is that just the universe giving you a little push in their direction, or?
It's probably both.
Okay.
I feel like what I learned from sharing my story and being willing to be vulnerable with it, that we all have a story to tell. And not one story is more important than the others. Each story will give other people something to learn from it. But when you add the vulnerability part, you create an opening to the person next, across from you, to be feel safe, to be feel more comfortable. And some will, depending how much guard they have around them, will open up, and some not, and that's okay. But I'm also in the same point showing them an example that by being vulnerable, I'm not hurting in not myself and not others. And there is then a level of connection that can go much deeper between two people.
Is there a gender difference?
Oh, I know most of the women that travel, and I'm getting it's women. I know it's not like I have like the open rawness conversation with the male is actually with both of my boys. I don't know if this is something because the way I raise them, or I'm not sure, but most of my connection on the road, it is with women. I mean, rarely you will find a man traveling by himself.
Oh, is that right? Oh, that's
Yeah.
interesting. Yeah, I was thinking in my life, my deepest conversations are with other women, although I do have some close male friends.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I was just sort of curious about that. Yeah. One question I wanted to ask you is about your dream. And I'm not sure if I'm naming it accurately, but this is how I saw it framed on Facebook. Echoes of Hope and Empowerment, a WE project in the woods for shared resilience. Talk to us
Yes.
about that dream. It just sounds amazing.
Isn't sound amazing? But again, remember I was also writing who I am to dream that big. And I think
I'm going to stop you there. When you consider how far you've come since you left New York the first time, there's women out there who need you to be a guiding light.
Thank you. That's beautiful. If it, anything, I wish there was a way to show the person I used to be and where I am today, and just simply to be an example to anyone. What happens when you choose to take on yourself? Really, the responsibility, that's the only word I can find, to move yourself forward in life. And that dream came like I was on the third month on my road, and one of the I know and one of the Facebook that I post is a solo women traveling in the car. And when I read that, quite a lot there are forced to do it because they're running from abusive. They are just lost their job financially. It just broke my heart. I mean, I'm choosing to do it, and it's not easy. I cannot even imagine what it will be to be in a place like that when, above everything else, you need to live a life that is just incredibly difficult. And it will be great to turn my journey and to help others in that process. Now, I'm a big believer that the only person that help you first is yourself. But if there is a place, a center that can provide you the tools to stand on your feet, can provide you understanding, because like what I did with the way I got where I got to where I am today is really understanding my emotion and my feelings. And that is by a lot of the Brené Brown teaching. So it's there. You can, the work needs to be done by each individual of us to go forward. But sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's really, really hard. And just to have a place, physically, to go and have a support system that can help you put yourself on your feet, I think it will really will generate many independent and powerful women out there. So I love camping. I will love to find my little cabin in the woods someday. So I thought, well, It will great to, and I will love to create a community of women coming together. Everyone bring their skills. Drama is out. There is no drama in this camp, and be vulnerable and willing to work together to create something that we're all wishing for. That dream of mine, you'll ask anyone. It's like almost everyone's dream, especially women, want to get together and create that kind of environment. So I'm not ready for it. I put it out there because it is a passion, but I put it out there to keep pushing myself toward that direction.
You
And
actually have a picture though, and I want you to describe that picture.
so you know that picture, it's interesting. While I was writing the post, so one there is two editors to my writing. I write myself. AI is my first, and my friend Eva Marie is the second. And when I work, you know, like he the AI is a chat GPT. It really learned, you know, my voice. A lot of time I will put something, not a lot of time, like actually rarely now, I'll put something and he will he you look at it, I'm talking about like it changed it and put words like I'm like, no, I'm sorry, that's not what I wrote. You take what I wrote, I just need you grammar and you know, keep my voice. I have a certain style, make sure it's there. And it's like, you know, he actually it actually apologized and it so
I
when I
like that
start,
you call it he.
yeah, right? No, he, she, whatever. I was like, oh, I was describing this, so I put the post, you know, working on my grammar, and I said, like, well, what kind of a picture I'm going to put in there? And I was like, oh, I know like a lot of people create art from a chat AI, and I said, okay, this is my post, and this is my imaginary of the space. And you know, it took a while. I have to say, it's probably took a few hours until I'm like, no, I don't want that. Please take this out, put this in. So as I wrote there, it's a was collaboration with the AI to get my vision into that picture. So that is the picture. But I just want to go back to basic, just simple basic, working the land, you know, enjoying the fruit of the land and kindness and love and support. I really think it's possible. I think we lost a lot of it. And it would be great to show an example while helping other people, while, you know, helping, you know, even if it's like men or women, that's just something to just get out of this mess that the world we are in. It's just enough.
Okay, the reason I asked you about your picture is because I'm expanding it for you.
Okay.
Oh, I can't remember when it was, but I just re relatively recently, in the last few months, I interviewed a Belgian landscape architect who is into sustainability. And I'm going through some of the people that I've interviewed, and I've just sent out, like, do you know somebody who would be a good contact for Mathieu? And I've actually had an interesting response. So some people have been very helpful or whatever. But one thing that Mathieu has also said to me is he's helping, I'm going to read this, helping wealthy people buy large farms that he would return the farm, the tract of land to good health. So good environmental health. And I thought that your dream community could make them sustainable.
No,
There you
I
go.
there's no doubt in my mind that it's possible. But remember, as I wrote, this is not an I project. I will be happy to lead it. I will be happy to, you know, of course, to be a force into creating it and all of that. But I cannot do it myself. I mean, and the beauty of community is the we all working together to create something that everyone benefit. You know, there is we all equal. Everyone have a skill that bring in. I don't know, just simple.
And as you found, being in touch with the land, nature, the environment can be healing in so many ways.
Yes, very, very much. I mean, I wrote it like there was like even that simple, in a sense, silly idea, right? That, there will be, because so many, a lot of women just don't like to, afraid, I will use the word afraid to go by themselves. And I want to break, because I was afraid to go by myself. And there's a certain time that I was afraid, many, many, we're talking ages ago. But I push myself, right? So to give them that comfort, even creating a path in the wood that will be fenced in, like high fence even, that they will feel the security that there's nothing that can hurt them, and let them practice, then get the fence even lower. Continue that. That's how we're doing it, by taking the fence that we are creating on ourselves and breaking it down slowly down. You will be able to do what you think you never could.
When I was reading and listening to a podcast that you did recently, and you were talking about that, as someone who's sat on the sidelines now watching you for the last few years, I saw this journey of it was all about your internal self, your heart, your brain, your soul. And as you've worked on that, you've worked so hard on figuring things out and owning things, and I mean, I could go on. But now that a lot of the internal work is done, you're able to fully contemplate the external world
That's interesting.
and the other women, because you've heard from them, you've seen them, the other women who are wanting, possibly needing to do what you've done and learn what you've learned. So it was that growth from such a deep inside place. Now you're taking it out into the external world, and it was just I just loved that whole thing as I was as following that.
That's interesting. I thank you for saying that, because like sometimes you don't see things.
Well, as I said, I
So
think it's easy when because I've been sitting on the sidelines.
yes, you really got me kind of like the mid beginning.
Thanks,
I don't
Miriam.
think
Quick
we
explanation for our listeners. Miriam is a friend of mine, and she and another friend of hers did a long distance trip. I think they were gone for like 8 months or something, and met you along the way. And then you stayed with Miriam here in Victoria for a bit. So it was Miriam that said, "You've got to interview this woman." And so it began. So yeah, never look back and constantly thank her. So that's good.
No, it's
Okay, I'm going to bring it up to date now. Like so many of us, you have this pesky little habit called eating, which costs money. And you touched on it briefly. You've recently taken a seasonal part-time job. Was that a big decision, or was it just the next step?
Well, remember, like last time we spoke, oof, and talking about fear, making a decision to sell my apartment, right? That's like supposed to be our safety net. That what so, and making a decision to sell that, give more. I gave most of my belongings. I donated it, most of my belonging. I maybe have 12 boxes to my name. Sorry, one second. Give me again the question. I don't know why I'm
You
like
took your seasonal part-time job. Was that a big decision
right.
or a next step?
Okay. Sorry.
No, that's okay.
You'll clean that one, right?
Yeah, maybe.
No, because like you know why it got me? Because it got me back to that second of the feeling that fear again. That what we were talking, and I'm explaining that fear, and I'm like, and suddenly I went back to that feeling. It was enormous on me.
Wow.
And you know what? Today, oh my God, what the best decision of my life? What maybe the first was getting divorced, but like It is the sweetness of freedom is even greater now. Not the only thing that belonged to me is my car and a few things in there. It's wonderful. So after 2 seasons on the road in the winter, it just too cold. The days are short. By the time I need to figure out, that I need to find my place for the night, it's 3 in the afternoon. What I'm left? I cannot get out of my car. It's so dark, but only by 8 to 3 is not enough. I need to support myself. The first 2 years was great. My apartment supported me. Wonderful. Well, now I need to think outside the box. How can I continue doing this lifestyle? And at this point, I don't care what I'm doing. The two things that are important to me is the people I'm surrounding myself, and I want to be in as much as I can in nature, that my surrounding giving me that love that I'm looking in from nature and from life. So seasonal jobs sound like, a perfect solution. And it was hard. It was hard to get into that, like, right? Because I'm trying. I'm today. I'm 57. I'm starting a new career. I'm living of. I'm living behind. I have a. I used to have a very successful business back home. I'm letting all of that go. Here and there, I have a few clients that are willing to experience. The color consultation remotely. It's worked beautifully. But I understand how people are very cautious about it, and that's fine. Also, my schedule is very tricky, it could be. So I just needed to find a balance between seasonal jobs and where I want to be. And just, I'm still figuring it out. I have to say, I don't remember the last time I had a resume. So working on that, like now. We'll be back in October, back home to do my doctor's appointment and car registration. I also need to look for a job for the winter. Last year, it was just that thought was got me very nervous. Today, I'll find one. I like now I have also two experience, that give me more a stronger resume. And I really more and more just trusting my journey, trusting myself, and trusting what ahead of me.
Okay, now back to Gila. You've written two books now.
Yes.
Okay, talk to us about those books, chapter one and chapter two, Life of a Nomad.
Yeah, right. This is interesting. I'm like still don't believe in myself. So it's really a memoirs, right? It's a collection of my posts as life was happening with afterthoughts. Because what the beauty that I found, like when I sit and work on my book, it's like the opportunity to reflect of my experience. What a great opportunity to do that. It's all there. So the afterthoughts come with it. So what the first one is, I am a self-healing and a self-discovery journey through fear and friendship, right? And the second one is traveling with the wind to find my soul. And I'll read you something quickly from the second one, because like there are times that I write something and like, oh wow, look what you wrote. it's funny. I don't know. And there is quotes that I write and I'm like, man, those are good. I don't know. It just make me laugh that it's almost there is, again, back to those parts in us. There is parts of that the writer in me that, and there's the part that cannot understand it and really in awe and what come out of my brain. So here's some good quotes that through the book that I actually put in the beginning of the book. But it's like, I am not living my life so that other can love me. I am living my life so I can love myself. Only when I love myself do I give other the opportunity to love me. That was a when I wrote that, I'm like, wow, make a lot of sense to I'm like it was like, especially like seeing myself now. It really kind of like was like rewarding me. This sentence rewarded me for all the hard work I've been doing the last 3 years on myself. And this one, I remind myself that whenever I'm willing to jump over that edge of fear, I find my wings. And the only way to find my wings is to be fully willing to jump over the edge. And that was in a moment of fear that I was dealing with, that I wrote that. So, I'll just read to you the last one. I don't have control over how you read my story. All I have is the power of how I write it. Judgment will always be there. You know you are wiser when you understand that judgment is for someone else to carry and not for you to hold on to. And that gave me the opportunity more to be open, be vulnerable, to embrace that power of vulnerability, because that is my story. You're welcome to read it or not, you know. And today I don't do any advertisement because then it will take away from the time that I, the life I want to live, you know. But if you somehow stumble upon my story, maybe there's something there for you there. So that's, you know, and also I don't want to be famous. So it's not like, you know, I love my, but my introduction, I'll read you just a short one. It's like, what happened when you let go of control and allow the wind to guide you? What do you find? Freedom? Fear? Joy? Uncertainty? Adventure? For me, it was the magic of all. Magic? You might wonder how fear and uncertainty could be possibly magical. Well, when you let freedom of the wind push you forward, you will find magic waiting for you at the end of the path. When I designed the cover of my first book, I never imagined the need to add chapter one. However, here I am sitting in my room in Gray Jay Common housing at Winter Park Resort. Designing my second book cover, A Nomad Memoir Chapter Two, Traveling with the Wind to Find My Soul, while already living chapter three, My Dance with the Universe.
I was going to ask what it was called.
Confusing? Probably. Especially if you just stumble into my life story. So it's just, and you know what? Every time in this year, especially when I was selling my apartment, and it took much longer than I expected, and there was a lot of like, you know, I'm dealing with other people in that process, and I'm remote doing it. And every time it was so difficult, I remind myself, you are dancing. You made a pact to dance with the universe. Not, and you know very well, not always will be, you know, a beautiful dance. Sometimes it will be, you will be on the floor and you will fall, but that is your dance. And that reminder of myself on my, you know, my next chapter title really helped me so many times just to soften the edge of challenges and fear and any kind of a struggle. So yeah, so I'm this year I'm dancing with the universe.
Oh, that's great. I won't ask when it'll be published. However,
I know.
where okay, so I take it women are probably lining up to buy this book just to taste the freedom that they want, but maybe haven't found the strength to chase yet.
Yeah.
How are book sales? I gotta ask.
Agnes, I don't know. All right. And I am choosing not to know. I choosing not to know how many books. Well, in the end of the year, I kind of need to sneak the look to do my taxes. I don't know how many followers I have. And all of it is a choice. And I'll tell you why. After the first year when I came home, now remember, I start writing, not knowing that, you know, people actually will enjoy my writing, and not knowing nothing. And very from the beginning, so many women encouraged me to turn my writing to a book. And it took really 8 months to come to the point like, okay, if so many people tell me, I might need to do something. Now, if I had to pay someone to do it, that will never happen. But it does feel like almost a lot of my skills through the years came to be able to for me to do it self-publishing and to do everything myself to be able to create those two books. But as I was traveling, you know, the comments was beautiful. I mean, gorgeous comments. Very definitely encouraged me to continue sharing and continue writing. And this so many likes and like really like, you know, like was great. I mean, a good it's a wonderful feeling. I mean, how not to? And I'm coming home and feel look like I, you know, probably like a lot of women like, you know, just felt like that was the end of the journey and the comments went down, the likes came down. And I was feeling something inside of me that I couldn't really understand what's going on. So I did what I usually do, and I take a hike into the deep wood and being very raw with myself and seeing what is that feeling, what I'm, because it's not sitting well with me. And here's another, you know, aha moment. I realized that what is that uncomfortable feeling I'm having is my ego. And I can tell you two things. One is like, well, let's say this way. There was two things when I decided to divorce that I'm going to do two things. One is to let go of the ego that I usually don't have a huge one to start with, but thank God. But is the ego and willing to give up a lot to be able to do a fast and as much as I can smooth divorce. I didn't want to drag my boys. I didn't drag anything. I also learned that to be able to have a tug war, you need two people to pick up the rope. And as long as I will not pick up my end, it will, you know, will go. But I also know who is my partner in the divorce, and I need to know to give up a lot. Somehow I knew I will find my way to stand on my two feet. So here I am, and my ego is kind of like coming and pushing me. And it's so important to me that when I write, because I write for myself to start with, this is the first, my first audience is me. And if I want to continue being honest and raw and emotionally naked with myself so I can understand myself, my writing need to make sure that it's not coming from a place of an ego. And to do that, I don't want to know how many books I sell, and I don't want to know how many followers, because I feel it's interfering in the in my you know, on tenses on being me authentic with my story and being truthful with my life. And after living 50 years so numb, I cannot go back that road. So I need to be writing from a place of pure truth with myself, and ego cannot come and be part of it.
So, is it possible that, you know, if you were paying attention to the likes, the comments, like a lot of attention, how many people were buying your book, you could, because of ego, start saying, okay, I'm starting my third book. What would they want to see or hear? Whereas this way, it's entirely true to you, and
Right, because that's what happened with ego. You know, ego is kind of feeding them like, oh, look at me. I'm like good, like, you know. And then I think you are pushed to create something and that is not you. And that's not the essence of my story. And that's where today when I create and when any kind of art I do, I see the beauty of taking the ego from when you create any kind of art, then you're really are able to bring so much into the surface, things that you were not even aware that are part of you. Now, to tell you, I'm not, I'm looking for something because I want to read you something. Every time I get to a point where I feel, okay, I'm going to stop sharing. This is just like, you know, like a, it's too much for me. No one interesting in that in my story. I will continue writing, but it's almost every time that thought come in, the universe sent me a message from one of the comments from Facebook, almost telling me, "No, it's not time. You need to keep going." So the comments on Facebook from women that encouraged me to write First of all, if you took the time to put a comment on Facebook or Substack on my blog, then you took the time to read it. The least I can do is respond to that. Okay. Sometimes if it's like emoji or a lot of it, I will be like, thank you. A lot of it is really thank you because it's just beautiful what they write to me. And so I do look at that part, but I really try. I honestly, I don't want to know, because when I realize what is that feeling and where the origin coming, it just took who I am, and I don't want to. So you want to read the story? You're welcome. It's there because I truly believe that I'm only sharing what we all feel. I'm not inventing anything new here. And by you reading it, you can start actually connecting to yourself, not with me, with yourself. So here is one, like it was, I think, like I don't know, like maybe 2 months ago. That thought of like, okay, it's a lot to sit and write. I enjoy it very much, but the sharing, because a lot of time I'm very vulnerable, it does take a lot out of me. I get a response. I'll read it to you. Your posts truly touch me. There's something so powerful and grounding in your way you share your thoughts. It feels honest, human, and deeply moving. The way you describe nature, emotion, and healing create a space where others can reflect on their own journey too. Thank you for opening your heart and letting us be part of your story. It's a beautiful reminder that even in solitude, we are all not alone. And that's what gave me the strength to keep up, and continue. But not the sales, not how many followers. That I think will hurt my ability to write from the heart.
So, from the heart, what haven't we talked about that you want mid-age women to think about as they decide what their next chapter is going to look like?
I know I use that word repeatedly and many times, but it is the responsibility that each of us is willing to take upon ourselves, to create that space in our life. We have one life to live. How we choose to do it is in our hand. It is a choice to take a space and make it a negative or a positive. And I think the moment you understand that and willing to do the work and putting yourself as the center healer and put the empowerment on yourself, you really will get so far you will not even believe in your achievement. So get off the chair and, take the wheel in your hand and drive into your horizon that you wish to yourself.
And I'm not trying to make light of anything, but it comes down to that. When the going gets tough, the tough get going.
And that is how many times I had to remind myself when things are so hard and so tough that it is part of the journey. It's like, life is not always the goodness and the wonderful, but also in those time of squeezeness, that we have, there is that room to get even to a different, even higher level. The book of from Pema Chodron, When Things Fall Apart, it's almost like a Bible for me in this point. I cannot even tell you how many times I listened to it. And at this point, I probably can recite it, in my heart. And every time I hear something else, so whatever make you or remind you and help you to put that extra step forward, take it. It's a journey that I'm, in so many ways, I almost cannot give all the credit to myself. It's all the other stories and all the other, really the stories of other people that helped me to move forward.
correct me if I'm wrong also, but when things do look hard, it's possibly easy to say it's too hard and not try. But when you push through and you wear the weight of that journey, coming out the other side is immensely freeing and empowering,
Yes.
and you take great even joy in what you've done.
Yeah. And a lot of time I also remind myself that life is impermanent, you know, it's not going to last forever. So take a deep breath, be gentle to with yourself, be kind. Take a break. Take a break. You know, you not always you have to push. Those breaks can create a good space to be able to see things from a different angle. You know, have a good women in your life that you can bounce your thought and feeling and get an honest respond. So for me, that it's so important that because especially in those hard time, you're so blind to see the light that if someone else can shine that light and show you the light in the end of the tunnel, let it be. You know, it's let other people, and I'm still learning that. I know my friend Eva Marie will listen. It's like, okay, you're saying it, but why are you not following? You know, I'm learning to let, you know, the beautiful people in my life to help me, guide me, and give me that shoulder when, you know, when it's needed. So, yeah.
Are you currently on the World Wide Web, or is Substack and Facebook your primary?
So Substack is really my blog. That's where you can read it. And my personal Facebook. But I'm very guarding who is my I'm getting in. And there is the Two Solo Women Travel. It's a private group. And you know, there is a Facebook, my author Facebook, you know, page.
Pages.
That when I post, I also post there, but I don't do any promotional of that. So if you can find it, I know I then you can read it also there. And the Substack, there is option to read it free and or to support me. Most of the to get rich for any of that, I know there is. I'm not going to. And in this point, it's so not important to me. Financial, even though I'm actually working with less, it's so wonderfully to get to it actually to this point in life. But it's there to read for free. So yeah. But I'm not on Instagram or any of like that. Again, and in YouTube there is just videos of the two
Your car apartment and your
Yes, and my yes, and I if you go and you put my name in on podcast, I mean there is some of that I did, but
okay.
I don't want to take it's so you need to do so much marketing to get, and I don't want to put my time into it. I then I'm taking away from what the way how I want to live my life. So I'm, you know, so if you find my story, you know, I'm happy to share it.
Okay. Now, your story and our conversation so far hasn't been at all personal. But I have one more personal question before we close. Is that okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
And if you need to take a moment to think about this, or you can say, no, blah, 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 forget it. If you could time travel to any spot in your travels so far
Ooh.
to relive it, to
Oh, my.
change it, to pay
Okay.
more attention to it,
Okay.
can you think of a place?
Oh. What a complex question, Agnes.
Oh,
Okay.
I tell you, I
Yeah.
pondered that one.
Yes. Oh, okay. When you're saying it, oh my God, you know how many places came through my mind? But when you said, and if you can change it, there was only one place I would go to change a situation. So first of all, there will be so really, Man, you're challenging me. But the reason why I'm going to that place, because this place did steal my heart. You know, there I don't have to say I make sure not to say I have a favorite, because then I feel like I lost, they're like taking away from my experience when I have a choosing. But there's places that stole my heart. And there's places that, depending on the season, that's why they stole my heart. But I will go back to May this year. I was in the Needle District. It's the part of the Canyonland. And that
Okay.
place really, really stole my heart. And there is, and it's interesting. It's like, I'm usually like, feel myself, I'm a mountain girl with lakes and blue and green trees. But there is like very naked rock formation. It's just unbelievable. For me, gorgeous. And to be able to go and find solitude, very easy. It's remote. That's another level that I enjoy. But I the campground there, one of the campground is first come, first serve. So I know I need to, I get there I think on Sunday, and I'm getting there around 9:30 to find who is leaving, because there is a note on dates who is leaving so I can go and take their spot. And I see a couple with a van, and obviously it's 9:30, and they need to be out by 10. And they are about to finish packing everything. And I say, I see you guys leaving. Can I park my car and go do the registration? Yes, no problem. I come back, I put my notes, and so it's still 9:30, and honestly, I'm hungry. I didn't have my breakfast. So I asked the guy, may I use your picnic table? And I use the word yours, because still until 10 it's theirs, to sit down and eat breakfast. Wow. The way he reacted, I was stunned. I was just it took me back to my childhood. It put me back to being the he said, "You are so rude. This is, like how kind of like how dare you are." And I just couldn't speak. So if I can rewind myself, and right away I understood that this had nothing to do even with me. Somehow I triggered something in him that let him react in so unkind reaction, because all he could say is like, "Sorry, but we have it until 10, so we would like still to keep our that time." That's all he. And so the reason why I want to go back, because I was so stunned, and in a second, it's almost all the years that I did all the hard work to work on myself was gone. I was the little girl being, sorry, being abused again by someone else. Someone else is again taking the power that I gained in the last 3 years. And it was painful. And I was in shock. And I just left. I want to go back to that second and bring back the empowering woman that I am today, and to say, "I'm sorry, I didn't mean to take your part." Just to take and say that I'm sorry, to apologize, even though, I didn't know someone, he did not deserve it. It doesn't matter. But to do the right things from my end toward him, I would like to change that part. It still haunts me today. Why I didn't took that second to say, "I'm sorry." Because I have a feeling that if I had said that sorry, maybe it changed, let him change something in his approach to another person. And so, did I answer your question?
You did, and I believe the universe works in mysterious ways. So he may not listen to this, but somebody who is equally reactive for whatever reason will listen and think, "Oh, sounds like me," or somebody else say, "That sounds like my husband," or something like that. So, as I say, I believe the universe operates in circles. And circles go around. And yeah, but it's also interesting how, yeah, be stripped away in just that second.
And so that's, first of all, show me that the situation like that will happen. Trauma is something deep in us, and how much time you take to work on it and heal yourself. There will be time that you'll be back in those moments. So I want to remember that moment, how painful, even though I had to go and I sat down for 2 hours just by myself, shocked from that experience. Like, what happened? How did I, where are you, Gila? You lost yourself. But also knowing that, no, this is part of me. You know, it's not that I lost myself or not I lost my power. In anything, I actually gain more compassion toward people from that experience. So next time, I will try to take that extra breath and bring more of what I would love to bring into the universe today, and not to add to that aggression. And the opposite is, you know, the moment I see, meet those kind of people that unfortunately have so much pain, is by showing more compassion and more kindness. Hopefully that will be a little crack in their shield to open them. So yeah.
Before
But there
we
is.
wrap,
All
I was
right, go
just going to
ahead.
say, before we wrap, I want to thank you for something that for years you've probably seen that hurt people, hurt people. And I've always called people on that one. And I say, that's BS. That's just giving them an excuse to hurt people. But through talking to you, I realize that hurt people tend to hurt other people. Because that's all they know. And
Yes, and
sometimes, but
but
go ahead.
remember, that's like how I got my aha moment with forgiveness. First year on the road, I am feeling a lot of anger in me that I know not belong to me. Anger toward my dad, toward my ex, and I don't want to carry that weight. It is just not who I am. And remember, I met Ramona. From Vancouver Island, still a very dear friend of mine, and she, you know, she one of the my followers, and she messaged me on Messenger with a question, and we continued talk, you know, texting back and forth, and we realized we're going to be in Padre Island at the same time, so we met, and talking. Okay, you asked me before that your connection with people. Here's two strangers. Totally willing to be so vulnerable and so open. The beauty and the magic of it was incredible. But Ramona was sharing with me her journey with forgiveness. And Agnes, I really remember, like, we were walking, and I'm in my head, I'm thinking, okay, lady, I don't know what you're talking about. This is cannot resonate with me, forgiveness. And but she really planted that seed in me. And we kept, you know, connecting, you know, and co continue. And I'm in Sedona, and there is a winter storm, and I'm stuck, right? I cannot camp the way my setup. So I take, luckily that was during the week, and there was a cabin that I could, you know, take for like for the 2 nights that the storm is continue. It's very dark. It's you know, just it's pretty much push me, you know, okay, you have to work hard. What's going on? Like, you're still stuck. And then what is forgiveness? You know, I don't know why it even came. And I said, like, okay, maybe I'm misunderstanding forgiveness. And I do what I do with every emotion that I don't fully understand. I study it. I'm trying to understand it. Luckily I had a reception. Listening to podcasts, any like TED Talk, reading anything that I can to help me understand what is forgiveness. And the moment it was like a light bulb, right? The moment I realized that both my father and not my ex hurt me from a place of hurting me, it was more a reflection on their own self-pain. Forgiveness got a beautiful place in my heart, and the weight out of me, incredible since then. I truly, you know, I still, my dad passed away this December after that, but thank God I got to that place of forgiveness, because it was a complex, grieving, and surprising, already not having the forgiveness. Oh my goodness, I cannot even think where I would be. But my ex, I don't want nothing to do with him today. But for myself, I don't have, because there was a time I couldn't even believe how much hate I have toward him. And knowing that, and sometimes, I feel sad that he have so much hurt himself, that he needed to do what he did. That if, we still have share two boys, and I'm sure there will be situation we'll get together. At least now I can come from a place of it's hard for me to say respect because I lost a lot of respect for him, but it will come from a place of compassion for a person that I know is very hurt. It's not from a place of a person that hurt me. And I think the moment we turn that wheel, then first of all, we are inside of us are healed in a way that no therapist can give you. No one can give you that. This is the only thing that you can give yourself. There is like so much air coming into your lungs, and there is just opening for other beautiful emotion to come and to be part of your life. So other people pain, if you can understand that it's not coming from a place of hurting you, there is a lot of opportunity to growth in from your own self. Does that make sense?
It's like right to the your last word. You're just imparting these gems. It's fabulous. Okay, your Substack link is in the show notes. I will find the link to your Facebook author page so that people aren't bugging you.
Put also
Listeners,
like
oh yeah, go
my
ahead.
No, put my website because I think there is a lot of few links there that they can also can find.
Oh, okay. That's your color guru.
Yes, carguru.com.
Okay, good. Listeners, I opened by mentioning my decision to be of no fixed address for the foreseeable future. Gila lives the life of a nomad. Have you considered it in some form or another? Talk to us. Leave comments where you're listening, or if you're listening at boomwithabang.com, scroll to the bottom of the page and talk to us there. If there was a question I didn't ask Gila, ask it in the comments and I'll get you an answer. Share this episode. Gila has connected with a lot of amazing people. Some, I'm putting words in her mouth now, but some she would might call messengers since she began her current path. People in my world are curious about my current path. Your friends could harbor a secret wish or curiosity. This conversation could help clarify. Or if you are nomad curious, that's my word for the day, nomad curious, by sharing this episode, you might find a travel partner. If you enjoyed the conversation, click the follow button at your favorite podcast platform and help us grow. I too am registered at Substack. Following there is free, and you'll get notified every time an episode is released. Gila Melamed, thank you for coming back today, catching us up on your journey, both external and internal. Shall we meet again next year?
Yeah, let's try. Let's see. We never know, right?
Okay, it's a date. Have a great rest of week.
Thank you very much, Agnes. Good to be see you and talk to you and be part of your show.
Yeah, I really appreciate you.
Thank you. Me too.